Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. And Dr. Gregory is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head-on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in live to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak to Dr. Williams and his guests. Now, here is Dr. Williams.
Well, good evening. This is Greg Williams. Welcome to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. And we're having a little bit of technical difficulty this evening. Can't get the speakers to work on my side over here, so it's probably my fault. I took this computer with me to Tyler, Texas, to a conference, and I came back and hooked everything back up the way it was supposed to. But here shortly, we're going to take a break, and hopefully we'll have better audio. But tonight, we have an awesome show. I just want to let you know we have an awesome guest on the line already. Kayla J.W. Marnock is an awesome, a wonderful author, and she has written some great books that we're going to get into here in a few minutes, hopefully right after the first break when we come back on with better audio. But if you want to join us tonight and have comments and questions, feel free to call 888-627-6008. And I want to let you know, this is a show that you'll want to mute your television, put your phone down, and you're just going to want to focus on what Kayla and her mission in life has become. And you're going to just find out the wisdom that she has, that every parent needs to have a set of these books in their hands for their children. And also, if you say, wait, my children are 20, 30 years old. Well, every grandparent needs to have a set of these books in their hands. And we're going to tell you why these are so important just shortly when we welcome Kayla with us. Now, next week, we have a very awesome show next week, and it's going to be very deep. So this is going to be, and Doug on our switchboard tonight, Doug, just be ready. Next week's going to be a groundbreaking show. You're going to have people that calls in from everywhere, and it's the people that have founded and run what they're calling Brain Trainer, and it's neurobiology training in your head, and it's just unbelievable stuff that is becoming research and has great progress in our field, in the medical field, and that's going to be next week on our show, so we want to make sure everybody joins us next week live at 8 o'clock Central Time. Here I am in beautiful Houston, Texas, looking out. It's almost twilight out here. The sun has gone down. It's just beautiful looking over the Texas Medical Center. And I'm also looking at the NRG Stadium where the Houston Texans play football over here. It's just great to be alive. But I want to tell you what, before we get into our guest this evening and talk with Kayla, you know, I want us to invest in each other, but most of all, you need to invest in yourself on some things to become a better person. And you know, Albert Einstein, a pretty smart fellow, I think, came up with the definition of insanity. And he said the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. Now, sometimes we go through life and we're experiencing things. We get in that down mode. We get in that rut that I believe I remember hearing somebody say a rut is literally a grave with both ends kicked out. And you get in that rut and you can't get out. And you always are trying to do something else to get you out, do something else to get you happier, do something else to get you out of depression. Do something else to get into better relationships. Do something else to get promoted at work or whatever. Let me tell you what, I'm going to encourage you to not do something else. I'm going to encourage you tonight by just throwing out a few things to stop doing to yourself. And maybe that will help change the pattern that you're in and change the negativity into something positive in your life. So here are just a few things. If you want to get a pencil, paper, an ink pen, just sit down and start jotting these down and see if these don't help you this coming week, because I always like to give you something that you can take into tomorrow morning to make your week a little better. So the first thing I want you to stop doing is stop spending time with the wrong people. Life's too short to spend time with people who literally will suck the happiness out of you. Stop spending time with them. Stop giving time to them. Stop bringing that negativity into your life. Number two, stop doing this. Stop running from your problems. Turn around and face them head on. I promise you, it's not going to be easy. But I promise you, if you face them head on, you're going to be better. Number three, stop lying to yourself. Our lives improve only when we take chances. And the first and most difficult chance we can take is to be honest with yourself. And I want to tell you what, I had a problem with that for over 30 years. I kept pretending my life was A-OK. I'm just fine and dandy, when I was being eaten up inside about everything that I was going through in my own life and my own past. Stop trying to be somebody that you're not. One of the greatest challenges in life is being yourself in a world that's trying to make you like everyone else. And you know, the wild thing is, if we're all like each other, then one of us isn't necessary. We all are created with different wiring, different talents, different thoughts, different personalities, different skin colors, different beliefs. All of those things are important to make our world a brighter place. So stop trying to be somebody you're not and find out who you are and be the best that you can be in that. Another one, stop trying to hold on to your past. Oh my, do we not carry that baggage around with us every day of the week? You can't start the next chapter of your life. Let me say this again because I want you to catch this. You cannot start the next chapter of your life if you keep rereading your last one. Move on. Move past that and try to become something else. And don't worry about the past. Let it go. Let it go. A couple more, then we'll take a break and see if we can get our sound better. But second to the last one, stop focusing on what you don't want to happen. Start focusing on what you do want to happen. Positive thinking is at the forefront of every great success story. I promise you, if you wake up every morning next week with a thought that something wonderful is going to happen in your life that day, and you pay close attention, you're probably going to be right. And the last one, stop being ungrateful. No matter how good or how bad you have it, wake up each day thankful that you woke up that day. Someone somewhere else is desperately fighting for their happiness. Instead of thinking about what you're missing, start thinking about what you have right now and be grateful for that. Just a few things that I kind of encourage you as we start another week to just stop doing so we can start focusing on the positives of our lives. I tell you what, I'm excited to have Kayla with us this evening. And what I want to do is make sure we have the best quality of this interview that's available. So we're going to take a short break right now and see if we can tap into another line and get a better sound for Kayla when she comes in to talk to us now. So listen to this break. and then we'll be right back in the next minute or so and talk to Kayla Marnock.
From HCI Publishing, that brought you the international bestsellers, A Child Called It, and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years, and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
After our break, and I believe Doug, our wonderful producer on the line, has taken care of all of this, and hopefully you can hear me. Kayla, I hope you can hear me also, and we're just going to invite you now to just sit back and enjoy this interview, but I also want you to participate in this interview, because we're just, you know, when I talked to Kayla about wanting to ask her to be a guest on the show, I was going to send her questions, and I do things kind of different on Breaking the Silence. I don't tell people what we're going to talk about. I don't give them a preset of questions. I'm just pretending that I'm sitting down with a nice Diet Coke. They're sitting down with their favorite soda pop or cup of coffee, and we're just going to sit back and have a conversation. And we want you to join that conversation with us. Kayla J.W. Marnock is an author and a speaker, and an awesome one in both of those tasks. She has written the Can Do Kids series, and she collaborates with TBRI-trained therapists and counselors, and she created a brain-based, trauma-informed picture book and presentation to help caregivers navigate the sometimes tumultuous trials of parenting on body boundaries, self-regulation, and life values. And I promise you, each book includes an empowering first-person poem, a caregiver strategy that educates the adults how to start tough conversations, and open-ended questions and activities to keep the conversation going with your child or your grandchild that needs this kind of information. She lives in Austin, Texas, and she has an awesome, awesome husband, John, and I have just fallen in love with John. He's just a neat fella. And Kayla, I am just honored to have you with us tonight. Can you hear me okay, Kayla?
I certainly do, and thank you so much, Greg. I really appreciate it.
Well, this is going to be a fun night, and I tell you what, I was in Tyler, Texas yesterday, and I have a whole bunch of people from Tyler, Texas listening to us tonight. I believe that because I invited everybody to listen in on this show this evening, and I told everybody in every presentation how important these books are, and I hope people are picking up on that and buying these and giving these as gifts, birthday presents, Christmas gifts as it's coming up. But I guess what I want to find out, Kayla, first of all, welcome to the show, but I want to know, and I'm just going off as I kind of scan through this book, what made you write this type of book, and tell me from what position you were writing it from? Where did you come up with this idea?
Well, I was writing a novel and had gotten with some counselors, and was asking, because it was about a girl coming out of foster care, and one of the therapists had said that she wished she had an appropriate book for 3 to 8-year-olds. And I kind of questioned that and going, really? She said they're either too scary, they named the perpetrator, they're unable to relate, or it's not on their level. And so I just felt that a calling that, yes, I can do this because I enjoy writing poetry. And so I felt like that's really a way to engage children is through rhyme. And it's very rhythmic and, you know, helps them. And so working with her, with Jessica Kilpatrick, who is the TBRI-trained therapist, the first one I worked with. Now I have a whole group of them that I work with. And over a year, starting in 2014, we started on it and was able to come up with My Body's Mine. And they have had children talk about abuse for the very first time using the book because it's safe. It has playful engagement, it's positive, and it really just helps break down barriers.
Okay, Kayla, I know you and John very well, at least, you know, from the conferences, and I consider you friends. How would you describe this set of books, a series of books that they can buy? How do you describe this book to somebody that's listening on the radio tonight for the first time and say, okay, what are we talking about? Can you just explain not only the beauty of the book, but what's the purpose of this book and what you're hoping it accomplishes?
Well, parents don't talk to their children, especially about body boundaries and sexual abuse prevention or self-regulation or life values. They don't talk about it because they don't know what to say. They're in denial as far as the sexual abuse. They're in denial that it could happen to their child.
Right.
They're ignorant of how to start the conversation. They have personally been traumatized, and so they don't know, you know, if they bring it up, then it's going to be really igniting all those fears again. And so they say nothing out of their own self-preservation, but they're leaving their child vulnerable. So my goal for especially My Body's Mine is to allow a way for a parent to be able to talk to their child starting at three. I have had a friend of mine, she has an 18-month-old, and she says, we read to my 18-month-old. Absolutely, because it's very rhythmic and rhyming and really fun to read, and they can recite it easily. And so for them to be able to talk about that in a very non-threatening way, and in the back of it with the questions that that are open-ended, it helps start that conversation of what needs to be said, because every word has been vetted through counselors. So I've made sure that this isn't just me doing it. This is what the counselors have said, hey, we need a way of being able to talk to our clients, and then our clients take this home and then talk to their children. But there's also that parent strategy that will give them the confidence and the ease to start the conversation. Reading the book, you have no excuse not to talk to your child.
Okay, so Kayla, let's say I'm a parent or a grandparent, and I'm getting ready to Curtis and Melissa, my youngest son, and his lovely wife in Sugar Land, Texas, and they're listening tonight, is getting ready to have their first child. So it's going to be another grandchild of mine. It's going to be a little grandbaby, and I just love babies. So are we saying that these kind of books, let's say at 3 years old, I can read this book as grandpa to her, and just read them as another, like another Dr. Seuss book, another normal childhood book, but somewhere down the line they start instilling these thoughts in their mind about the importance of those boundaries? Is it that simple? If I don't even get to the back of the book, which I think we're going to really get into here in a minute, but is it that simple for me just to keep reading these books to them and them get these thoughts and ideas in their mind?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because the important thing is that if it's been normalized and it's part of their normal conversation, then you're equipping your child as they're growing that this is a normal thing, you know, that I have body boundaries. I have boundaries. You are not allowed to touch me in that way. I decide if I hug or kiss you, but you empower that child. And so that it's an acceptance that they have at such an early age that they're not going to question it. And one of the things in the book, it has that a yucky feeling is good to know, which means that you need to trust your intuition. Too often as adults, we become offended if someone doesn't want to hug us or a child or whatever, or we want our child to go hug, you know, Uncle Joe or Bill or whatever. And if they don't do it, then we feel offended. But yet the child goes, something's not right. And if they have that feeling of this is not right, their intuition, if we discount their intuition, then they lose that power. And so we have, they have to be taught, and as adults, we have to listen to their intuition. If they're not comfortable hugging Aunt Sally, then say, okay, let's fist bump.
Yeah.
Let's, you know, let's just, you know, give a high five.
High five,
and
sure.
And really allow the child to do it. But at a very early age, because it's so sing-songy, my body's mine from neck to knee, and nobody's free to be touching me. You know, I mean, it's so rhythmic that it's easy for a child to memorize.
Great. Okay. Now, how long have you been working on this, and where did this idea come from? Did is this from a personal experience or something that you saw the market needed, that it was something that wasn't being addressed in any other book? Tell me how you even came up with the idea to start putting these together.
Well, the counselor is the one who really piqued my interest. I was going to be writing for critically ill kids. And
okay.
So that
so that
children could see themselves in books, because it's very important for children to be able to recognize themselves in stories, and mm-hmm. and that way they can relate to them. And that's why it's so important that, you know, all of my books are multicultural and differently abled, because I have one little girl that her name is Rachel, and she's in a wheelchair. You know, all of the little characters have names. Becca is their little redhead on front, and right now I'm writing
yes.
a middle grade story about her story. But the counselors had asked for it, and once that was done and they were telling me that children were talking about abuse for the first time using these words, it's not mine, it's God-given. I truly have to say that, because it's something bigger than me, and yeah. they were needing a resource to be able to reach children in difficult situations. And so I said, hey, let me at it.
Yeah.
What can I do to help you with the children?
Yeah.
And I say children, yes, it's written for children, but the principles in it are sound for teens or older. And I've been asked to write them for, you know, to put it into more teen language. But mm-hmm. every lesson in it can be talked about. And as far as, you know, what you do and what is appropriate and what isn't appropriate, and where do you go if you have been touched, and, you know, listening to your intuition. And so, and then, again, the strategies in the back for the parents. So it's really appropriate for all ages. But, again, children have talked for the first time using the book.
Okay. So, okay, I'm a parent. I'm listening to the show tonight. And I go, you know, I don't want to deal with this with my kid. Why would I want to buy a book about my body's mine, don't touch me, it's mine? Why would I want to even go there with it? Can't we just talk about Run, Jane, Run, C-Spot, Chase the Red Ball, and all the little preschool books we had in kindergarten when I was in grade school? As a parent, what would you say to me if I said, I don't want to talk about this, this makes me nervous, this makes me crazy? Why would I want to talk to my kid?
Wouldn't that be nice if we didn't live in a broken, fallen world?
Oh, yes.
But the truth is, someone has probably already talked to their child if they are in pre-K or kindergarten, probably, as far as the touching or whatever and stuff. Someone has already talked to your child, and if they haven't, they will.
Kayla, how wrong would I be to say, you know, it's the school's responsibility to do this? Yeah, wrong answer.
Totally,
right?
Totally. You know, parents are so, again, we are abdicating our authority and power, and by not allowing our children to learn what we value. And so we have to, children mirror our modeling.
Yes.
And so we have to be able to talk with them. And, yes, we have to get comfortable. But the kick is that there is no question. One of the things that that I tell parents is that, number one, take the stress off. Number one, take the stress off.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, you are a resource, not an expert.
Oh, no, explain that, because I've heard you say that 20 times before. Talking with you and listening to you speak. Explain that. I'm a resource, not an expert.
Exactly, because, you know, when parents, and myself included, when my two girls were younger, you know, I don't know what all they're going to ask, and I don't know how to answer that question, and that's okay, because we are to be able to be a resource means that we can find the answer.
Right.
The expert already has everything known, and they're the ones who disseminate the information and they spread it, but what the parent is a resource, and the thing that I always tell the parents to say is that when they ask something, that you respond to the child, "Wow, what a great question."
Yeah.
"I have no idea what the answer is." But you know what? We're going to find out together.
Yeah.
And so that's what, you know, so that way no one really wants to talk about sex with their kids, you know, but
yeah.
It's pervasive. Soft porn is now accepted. You know, and it's just it's so pervasive. In the song lyrics, I had one therapist that told me that she was driving her 12-year-old son to school, and a song came on, and there was some little questionable lyrics. And so she started to, "Hey, buddy, what do you think about that?" And he was either beside her or behind her. And we can learn so much more side by side than knee to knee, because that can also often make a child feel like they're in the headlights. And
yeah.
So they were. He was beside her in the car, and they were talking. And so they talked about this song and the lyrics all the way to school. Well, they get to school. He jumps out, turns around, comes back. "Mom, did we just talk about sex all the way to school?" And she smiled and said, "Yep, we sure did, buddy. Have a great day." And off they went. But it was because it was playful engagement. It was not threatening. And she was willing to ask questions. And that's another thing, is that we need to ask more questions than we give answers. You know, we want, instead of making statements.
That's good. That's
ask good. Questions instead of, you know, make, ask three times as many questions as you do make statements. But the asking questions is not grilling.
Right.
It is just asking. With my girls, when we would come home from school, we would play high-low, which is, what was your high of the day, what was your low of the day? That way you cannot give a one-word answer.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to think about it. And it's very simple. It's non-threatening. And, you know, it just kind of gets into, you know, well, what happened today? And so it's just very important that, you know, agreed, parents don't want to talk about it, but they have a responsibility. They need to be their child's best advocate.
Yeah.
And with My Body's Mine, it will give them the confidence and the ease to start that conversation.
Okay, so in your work with these professionals that helped do this thought process and the way this book flows, if, let's say, a parent reads this book to their child, you know, for several years and just keeps reading it to them, and they know it, will that open up conversations later with the child, because they already are talking about things that a parent ought to be talking about? You know, the only thing I ever learned in grade school about somebody touching me or being afraid of somebody was stranger danger. You don't take candy from a man in a trench coat in a park. Well, I never saw a man in a trench coat in the park handing out candy. But then when we see the facts of life, 93% of the people that are abused, sexually abused, are abused by people they know. So it's not the stranger danger that's hurting us. It's our own people. So if we can have those true, raw conversations with our children and be comfortable and not nervous about it, how much better educated are they going to be because they're being taught by mom and dad with the morals that mom and dad want their child to be brought up with? Doesn't it only make sense?
Absolutely. I think stranger danger has done more harm than it ever did good, because
wow.
It did exactly like you said. It lent to where it's a stranger, because, you know, a perpetrator, you know, it does not have a schema. It doesn't have a, you know, this is what a preacher looks like. This is what a teacher looks like. This is what a friend's father looks like. This is what a little boy looks like. This is what a teenage boy looks like. This is what a doctor looks like. Any of those could be a sexual predator, because there's no picture of what one looks like. So that's why we have to trust our intuition and teach our children. You know, when you said that, the statistics, I work with PACT, which is Partners Against Child Trafficking. And they shared some statistics with me that which 1 in 4 girls, 1 in 6 boys will be abused by the time they are 18.
Right.
79,000 Texas children are victims of sexual exploitation in 2018. 79,000 Texas children. Now then, so much of it goes under the radar, the number is much higher. That's only what's known.
We're talking about populations of an average town.
Yes.
That has been trafficked. Oh, my lands. Wow. That's powerful.
And 300,000 plus underage children in the U.S. are lured into sex trafficking every year.
So would you think that we would need to have these conversations? Because if they see themselves in those situations, how do you handle it? And I guarantee you probably 99% of the children, grade school children, right now, somebody approached them to try to traffic them. They are so professional and grooming in the way they manipulate people. They wouldn't even understand what was happening before it was too late. They need to be warned.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And that's why if we do not have, you know, with our children, that we have got to have that communication and we have to have that trust. One of the ways that we can build that trust is by what is called the poker face.
Oh.
And children won't talk to their parent because they are afraid of their reaction.
Yeah.
They won't talk to them because they're afraid that parent's going to get mad and lose it.
Okay, so you're the parent. Tell me what the poker face would be if I'm a child talking to them and bringing up something that may upset them. What would that poker face look like?
Well, it's a non-reactive but interested face. If your child has a D on their report card, has been broken something, they've lied to you, they've stolen something, and they know they need to tell you, but they're afraid to because they're afraid you're going to get mad at them. But if they can trust that you're not going to overreact, then they're going to tell you. Because when you overreact, the roles flip. The child becomes the parent, and the parent becomes the child. When you lose your temper, then the child goes, whoa, I've got to protect my parent. I've got to ease their pain. I've got to make them feel comfortable. I'm not going to talk about that to them because they can't handle it.
Mm.
But if you can maintain your control with your poker face, I've got on my website, I have free resources. And one of them is called the IDibsU, and it has been used in, I did it for a home, and then teachers saw it, and they said, we need to use it in our schools, which it's been used in the Austin Independent School District. And what it is like a little bookmark, and on one side it has all these I-worthy statements that really help you to remind you to compliment your child and to tell them what a good job they've done and how kind they've been, et cetera. On the other side, it is a list of things for them to do that you have a pre-agreed arrangement that if they need to talk to you but they're afraid to, then they can hand you this bookmark, and with confidence and with ease, they know that you are going to stop immediately.
Wow.
You're going to take a deep breath. You're going to take them someplace safe so they can talk. You're not going to interrupt. You're going to listen until they have said everything they need to say, so you will not interrupt.
And that breaks the ice, right? That right there, when they hand that piece of paper or that bookmark to them, it's like everything stops. My focus is on my child. We're going to talk. That is so awesome.
Yeah, and again, that's a free resource. That I have on my website that I have for parents and for teachers, because my thing is that yes, I do want to sell the books, but I also want to be able to give things and strategies for parents to use and teachers, caregivers, foster care. I work a lot with the foster care and community, and to be able to empower them to help their child, to be their child's best advocate.
I tell you what, we're getting ready to go to a break real quick, but I can't wait to talk to you for the next 20-some minutes. We are with Kayla J.W. Marnock, the author of an awesome can-do series books that's available right now on Amazon, and why we are go to a break. Won't you just hop on Amazon right now and buy you several of these, and let's just take this to number one, because this is what this book is all about, protecting our kids. So we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with Kayla for the rest of the show.
From HCI Publishing, that brought you the international bestsellers, A Child Called It, and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years, and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
You know, I am just so honored to have you with me tonight. And, you know, I'm looking at these books, and it just takes my breath away, the beauty of this. And your illustrator is just so perfect. And and I noticed that as I was going through these pages, you have every culture in here just in this one book. Because I know you have Spanish books and African-American books and things of that order. But just in this one book, every race is here. You have Asian, you have African American, you have Hispanic, you have the white culture. I mean, you've covered it in this book so beautifully, and I just applaud you. This is just wonderful stuff.
Well, thank you so much. And I do, Kate Colazzo, she is an awesome illustrator. Known her since she was 5 years old, so I feel really blessed that she grew up and we're able to collaborate on this. And yeah, that is the goal, is that, you know, that it is multicultural and differently abled, you know, because when she goes, oh, I got a wheelchair, how am I supposed to draw that? And I go, well, dear heart, I don't know, honey, that's your issue. You're the professional illustrator, I'm the writer. And
now,
she
Kayla
was able to pull it off, you know,
yeah,
and she did.
She did.
And so we've got that, absolutely. You know, so, you know, when we were talking about everyone wants to be seen, heard, and understood. And
wow,
so that's what really I'm trying to do with the books, is that with the different, like with the self-regulation book, I can do that, you know, to validate the child that sometimes it's hard to sit still. And a lot of children that have different disabilities, they are a prime target for abuse. Because
yeah,
either, you know, they get frustrated or whatever. And so it's just really important that we, you know, hear and understand. You know, the brain is made up of three different parts. And if the child is in their reptilian brain, which is the base brain, it's the fight, flight, or freeze, they can't hear you when they're in meltdown. You know, they can't, Dr. Dan Siegel's done a great, there's a YouTube illustration on his, he has done that, on the parts of the brain. But, you know, the kids, you think they're not listening to you, they're being willful disobedient. They're not. They can't physically, because their brain has been disengaged. So it's really important that when we're talking to them, that they are in their prefrontal cortex, which is where their cognitive thinking, where they can make the strategic decisions.
Right, and that's so deep, but you've hit that nail on the head. I mean, you've basically, that is exact science that you just explained,
yes,
that I was able to understand, and anybody that was listening, I could be able to understand that. Because once you get in that fight, flight, freeze mode, you can't think anymore. It doesn't process right, and this is perfect. So how many books are in this series, Kayla?
Right now I have three, and My Body's Mine, I can do that, and my actions matter, which is on life values. And then I have My Body's Mine is in Spanish. Mm-hmm. And so, which I'm really thrilled to be able to do that. Mi cuerpo es mío. Oh. I don't talk Spanish, but that's about as close as I can get.
You did that pretty good. Okay, so My Body's Mine is obviously about body boundaries. And what's mm-hmm. the second one about?
I Can Do That is a book on self-regulation. And okay. it really helps with the children to know that that when they're, you know, it validates that it's hard for them to sit still and that they do have big emotions. They get angry. But in the book, it actually has strategies and processes for them to do, like chair pull-ups and chair sit-ups. And then it also gives them their different things for them to keep with them, water bottle, a fiddle, which is a little thing for them to play with. So they have their pack with them, little fanny pack with them of the things that they need to help them self-regulate. And in the back of the book, the strategies for the parents on that one is, number one, the parent needs to be self-regulated first.
Right.
We're, you know, exactly. we yell at our kids, stop yelling. Well, you're yelling, you know. Children right. mirror our modeling. And so we have to be regulated. And so really in the back of it, it goes through the different processes of self-regulation. And then it has activities for you to do with your child for self-regulation so that it empowers the child to be able to be in charge of their own self-regulation.
And the third one's about values?
Yes, it's My Actions Matter. I Speak With Respect. I Cause No Hurts. I Listen and Obey. There's, I think, 8 different ones. And again, this one actually has strategies that the parent, scripts that the parent can recite. That because so many times when our kid is being disrespectful, you know, excuse me, what did you just say? You know, we can use mm-hmm. that tone. And but instead of doing that, you can say, in part of the book, it says, I can be sassy with my words, with looks and attitude. With hands on hip, I roll my eyes. My words are really rude. And then my safe adult will say, oh, whoa, they say, no way. Let's try again with respect now. I listen and obey. So it gives the parent the script to say, oh, whoa, no way. Let's try again. Because redos are very important for children. We want to end on a positive note. And yeah. that by being that playful engagement disarms fear and anger. And so if the parent can keep their attitude under control and go, oh, whoa, no, let's try again. Let's try that again, you know, and you know, because we cause no hurts, and that way when, you know, we use our words. So the third book, The My Actions Matter, really helps with the life values. And again, in the back, it has the parent. The really important thing with this one is that so often that we will have a level 3 response to a level 1 occurrence. Because the parent just goes, you know, ballistic, or the child will. But it actually has the process of bringing the an overreaction back down to a, okay, engagement. I'm getting you back into your prefrontal cortex so that we can talk. And right. it really helps that. And it talks about when it's over, it's over. But behaviors display a need. When we can find the need behind the behavior, we can change the behavior.
Oh, my Lance. I tell you, you know, when you just pick up the book, you think, okay, this is just a normal child's book. And I encourage people that this is, even though it's pretty thin, it's not that many pages. It's maybe 20, 25 pages. But the back 3 or 4 pages is a textbook of information in just 1 or 2 pages, because it tells the parent how to take the information that's in the book to the child and deal with it. So you just don't read the book. You read the book, the story to them. You actually go into the work that's in the back of it to help process the information with the child, right? You have questions and how to deal with it. And that's all part of the package, right? You're missing the whole point if you leave the back of the book out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what, you know, another thing to do is role play. Is that, you know, you look at it and then you can go over like one of the behaviors, you know, as far as any of the actions in the books, and then you can do the role play, because if you role play, then it really helps for the child's muscle memory to get in, oh, that's what that looks like, oh, that's how it feels, and then that helps them. You know, when we were talking earlier, I don't know if I've mentioned it already or not, but second grade is the average age for the first pornographic experience for a child.
Wow.
That has begotten the new statistic. And if we're not reading books to our children, if we're not protecting our children by, you know, giving this information to by us taking the responsibility and being the advocate for our child, then we're leaving them totally vulnerable.
Yeah. You know, I'm looking at the back of this one. I have My Body's Mine in front of me tonight. Mm-hmm. And one of the questions in the back that I just want to throw out that I think is so good to have a discussion with your child. You could be reading this book with them, and then you can literally, just this one question can be life-changing. Hey, little Johnny, son, daughter, whatever, whoever you're talking to, that you're reading this book to, who are your safe adults? Mm-hmm. That question right there can produce such a wonderful conversation. And you know, I have three boys. I never asked them that question. How wrong was I?
Well, it's not wrong. It's ignorance, you know.
Oh, my.
You know, because we don't know. It's not wrong. It's because, you know, it's not, you weren't stupid. You weren't, it wasn't, yeah. It was like, no, I didn't know to ask.
I know.
I didn't know to ask.
And that's what I love about these.
Yeah, that's why, you know, you no longer have an excuse not to talk to your child. And because it's just everything is laid out for you. And again, it's through the trained therapist, the TBRI, which is that trauma-informed brain-based therapy, TBRI, which is trust-based relational intervention. It was created out of TCU by Dr. Karen Purvis, the late Karen Purvis, who now Dr. Cross is take, you know, they're continuing as a huge program at Texas Christian University. And it's sound information. It's not my words. It's not my thoughts. I put it together through what they have told me. This is because I had put good in one time, and they go, oh, no, you don't use good. I go, well, yeah, you're making a good decision. No, what's good for them, a good decision, is they stand by their mother. If that mother is abusive, standing by her is not good.
Oh, wow.
So it's all relative. So I make wise decisions.
Oh, okay.
And that's teaching the child.
So I'm starting to kind of process this as a grandparent. So if I read this to one of my grandchildren right before bedtime, and they're staying with me for a week while their parents are off on vacation or something, I could read this once a night to a bedtime, and then just have a conversation with one question at the end. You don't have to go through all 17 questions.
No.
Just one question. Because if you just try to get through all the questions, yes, no, you're missing the whole point. It's a conversation starter. And that one, you know, these questions are unbelievable. Have you ever had a yucky feeling? And I love the words there, because you don't want to complicate. They know what yucky means. They know what yucky feels like.
Yucky, I have had the book translated into German and French. I haven't got it published yet, but it was very difficult. And even in Spanish, yucky, they had to put it as an uncomfortable feeling, but it's deeper than that. It's more soul, it's more gut-wrenching. And so they had to change it up a little bit to make it more conducive to what yucky is, because when we say yucky, we know what that means. I'm not that my intuition's telling me no, get out of there. Right. And that's why, that's what it says in the book, is that why a yucky feeling is good to know, you know, in that sense. I could use good, but that it is important for us to validate our child's intuition.
Yeah. You know, I was speaking at a pretty large conference this weekend, and I was talking to them about all the different signs of sexual child abuse on children. But I ended with, I think I had 12 signs, red flags, and I ended with the last one And I said, but the 13th one is the most important. And they were all quiet. And I said, huddle up. And I always have them huddle up, lean into me. When your gut tells you something may be wrong, don't ignore that.
Right.
That you have to respond. God has put that inside, I know, of every mother, because women have that extra sense. They put that in, and I've had moms tell me time after time, I knew I shouldn't have let my daughter spend the night mm-hmm. with them mm-hmm. that night. I knew I had that feeling, and I keep telling them, when you have that feeling, act on that feeling. And
yes.
and the children need to have that same skill instilled in them. When you feel danger, when you feel yucky, or whatever word you want to talk to and say to the, get out of that situation immediately. And
absolutely. You know, the way that we can stop the sexual abuse is that we have to educate, empower, and expose.
Wow.
We have to educate. We have to know what is. We have to know, and we have to understand grooming techniques.
Yes.
We have to empower the child to stand up through role play and normalizing the conversation so that they're at ease talking about it. And mm-hmm. then we have to expose. We've got to shed the light on abuse. You can't make a room darker. You can only withhold the light. And to break mm-hmm. that cycle of abuse by getting help, talking to others, and education. So
wow, that's how, exactly, you know, why this show is called Breaking the Silence, because that's what this is all about.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Okay, we only got a couple minutes before we close out, Kayla. I knew we would just talk for an hour. I knew we would
well,
do that.
Well, when I told Johnny it was an hour, he goes, well, honey, you're going to need 2 hours. You've got too many notes. So
yeah, all I have to do with you is say good evening, and then there goes the hour, because you just that, which I love. That's what I love about it. I tell you what, we only have like 45 seconds. How can people get in touch with you? How can people get the books? Tell us about your website, because now I want everybody that has a group that you can come speak to, invite you
yes,
to
sir.
Come to speak to them, how to get the books. Tell us all about the contact information for you, Kayla.
Okay, on my website, it is Kayla, KaylaJW, Marnock, MARNACH. .com. So KaylaJWMarnock.com. All the books are available on Amazon. And on my website, I actually have a little video of the books and everything. So, but yes, on my website and on Amazon.
And on Amazon, you can just type in Can Do Kids Series, and it comes
yes,
right
the
up.
Series is
Kayla,
important.
Thank you so much for being a guest tonight. I promise you I want to have you back on, and I can't
oh,
wait until we get to do another conference together, and I hope that's soon, or at least early part of next year when we start that cycle again. But thank you so much for being a guest on Breaking the Silence tonight. I appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you doing what you do. Thank you so much for having me, and it's been a real blessing. Thank you so much.
God bless you, and just keep up the great work, Kayla. Good night to you.
Okay, thanks, Greg.
We want to thank you for joining us this evening for Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. I just want to encourage you to be gentle to yourself, no matter what you have gone through, no matter what you're involved in right now. I want to promise you, there is always hope. Get on Amazon right now and buy these books for these kids, for your grandkids, and I promise you that you won't regret it. God bless you. Thank you for joining us tonight. Make sure you join us next week for an awesome show with all the brain trainers and the doctors and the physicians. It's going to be like a 4-guest show next week. You won't want to miss it. Thank you for listening in to Breaking the Silence. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1. For the next episode of Breaking the Silence.